Hello and welcome to another episode of Bodega Dolls.
Bodega Dolls, formerly known as
Allegedly NYC.
Oh, rest in peace, Allegedly NYC.
We're going to be having to say Allegedly just so we don't get sued a lot.
We're going to still say Allegedly all the time.
Yes.
And
because I just do that naturally anyway.
Yeah.
Before all this craziness happens.
Because we... can't afford lawyers.
We can't afford lawyers.
No.
I'm rent stabilized.
I don't know what I am.
Railroad.
Definitely not stable.
But alized.
Cheers.
Cheers.
We've come this far.
Going places.
Phase two.
Actually, we've put a third finger.
Oh, we're like almost. We're fist.
We're almost there. Phase one. Phase two. Phase three, we're good.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Well, today I wanted to talk about a very poignant topic, which I think is very timely right now. I think, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is really on fire right now.
I love it.
Long overdue.
Way long overdue. And we're here.
Yeah. And I want to know how we as Latinas,
yes,
community can, yeah, do better.
Absolutely.
And inform our own people,
oof,
about the racism within our own cultures, because
a lot of
that's coming up now.
Absolutely.
More than ever. And I'm realizing how Latin culture feels really separate from it, but they're, yeah, not at all.
They're not at all.
Because we're not at all.
I know I've never not felt my nationality. You know what I mean? Like, it was never not pointed out to me. You know what I,
right,
mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's within, like, us living in New York and in America.
Yeah.
You know, within Latin culture, there's so much deep-rooted racism.
It's insane.
Which is referred to as colorism.
Yes.
Which is today's topic. So
yes,
colorism is defined as a form of prejudice or discrimination usually perpetuated
within,
by people within the same race,
yeah,
based on skin color.
Yes.
It's also known as shadism.
Ooh. Well, obviously, you know, I love that term because I've been practicing shadism, but I didn't know there was a different meaning.
No, yeah, we have to be careful with that word.
No, because I've been, yeah, yeah, no, that's, I use that in a different term.
Yeah, our shade is very different than what they're referring to on the World Wide Web.
Yeah, it was when someone first called me a cunt. I was like, work, yes, cunt. And I didn't realize they meant it as you're a cunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh.
He was like, wash the dishes.
I was like, what? Because I didn't really know it as this, you know, like as a term of endearment.
From gay culture.
Like,
yeah, yeah,
from gay culture.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know it as a disgusting way of using,
right,
it.
Yeah.
So I'm new to this.
Right. No, well, this is a whole other separate
It's a
topic.
Whole different ballroom.
Shadism is based on... it's basically when people are treated differently because they are more black,
yeah,
or their features, they have more African features.
Yes.
To get to the root of it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's exactly how it is. Like, it's the shade of your skin tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just skin tone. There is also what
classism?
Classism is a whole other thing.
Yeah,
but
that's a whole other show.
I mean, that's another deep level. And this is like, you know, colorism is found in so many diverse ethnicity groups.
Absolutely.
Like even within African-American culture.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Definitely within Latin cultures.
1,000.
One thing that's deeply rooted in Latin, I would like to say Latinx culture.
Right.
Is this idea of pelo malo and pelo bueno, which is the good hair, bad hair.
Oh, girl. I could do 3 episodes on that.
And that is something that is like goes throughout all Latin cultures. Like in Panama,
throughout,
they say pelo churrusco.
Yeah.
In Colombia, I think they say pelo churrusco as well. In,
yeah,
Argentina, they say pelo crespo.
Oh.
In Mexico, they say pelo chinito.
Right.
And these are like terms that are all just rooted in westernized ideals of what beauty is, beauty standards, which are all based on whiteness.
Absolutely. And honestly, we're always that's the bullshit of this shit is that it's all living up to this like saint whiteness, you know, like this holier and holier, the person that we're supposed to live up to, that has to have this straight hair and like have this whole lifestyle that is kind of like living with the Joneses. Like you're automatic, if you don't live up to that, but that white life, right. You're not, you're not going to make it because you don't look like this. Like,
well, that's what that's,
it's like going back to being like passable and all that, right. All that shit, you know?
It's about like what is viewed as more dominant, more powerful, more.
Correct.
Something, it's almost like, it's something that Latin culture, some parts of Latin culture, which then goes back to classism.
Right.
Which is again, in a whole nother
episode. That's a whole
nother
episode.
But, it's like, this is something that people strive for, you know what I mean? And that's where this idea of good hair and bad hair comes in, because it's rooted in that. It's almost like it's so deeply rooted that it's just a part of passing, like we were talking about implicit bias.
Absolutely.
Where people don't even realize what they're saying is just like so embedded in our culture, where it's like, oh, she has good hair, she has bad hair. It's like, you know, we're using those terms, not knowing that it comes from, it's rooted in.
Right.
Racism, you know?
It's 100% racism. Because it's like, I honestly have seen, speaking for myself and other people that are like, you know, of every shade. Because every shade, there's so many shades of brown.
Yeah.
And there's so many shades, like even, I could speak for like being, you know, Puerto Rican. We are literally every motherfucking shade, you know? And it's kind of a gag when, you know... we're from the same island, or your island step up the block, and you're not going to like treat me with any respect because you're like a passable white girl because you have stringy hair and you look down to me.
Yeah. And then there's this whole, like this thing that people are like striving for, to be Americanized. Even like when like Latin people started getting famous or becoming successful in Hollywood, or again, back to the film world, because that's what everyone turns to for their fucking information.
Yeah.
You know, they would like tell Latin actresses change their last names or change their first name so they didn't sound so Latin.
Girl,
so they
gag at this. Change your hairline. That's happened too. Changing your hairline.
Oh, girl. Electrolysis.
Girl, they have made Latin women and black women change their hairline. So that's a whole other... I mean, you're literally... That's like... I didn't even know you could do that, first of all. And then when I found out like Latin that's brown people change their hairline to fit into the white Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. Like they literally like change your shit.
It's like to have access to this success.
Yes. Yes.
Here's some electrolysis.
Here's electrolysis and
a razor blade
and a foundation that tensions lighter.
Yeah. And a Groupon for skin bleaching cream.
Mm-hmm. And not for the asshole. Cause that, you know,
again, Markable. Another episode. So a lot of Latinx people, most of their lives grew up being told that they should fix their bad hair.
Yes.
They grew up, you know, it extends beyond Hispanic cultures. You know, it's like they refer to straight hair as the good hair. You know, we've heard that already.
Girl, before. I heard that my whole
it's
life.
Also in black communities. You know, I think Chris Rock did a documentary.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And again, it's largely because whiteness is viewed as dominance.
Yeah.
In some countries like Dominican Republic and Brazil, little girls are not even allowed to go to school
without getting a relaxer.
Curly hair.
Yeah. It's so funny because like right now, I live in a New York bubble, right? We both live in a New York bubble.
Right. New Yorkian.
Yeah. So I didn't know that you can't wear your natural hair texture in certain states. Because they will forbid you from going to school. This is, I'm talking about like young kids. If you're not relaxed, and if you, God forbid, if you have...
In America.
This is United States of America. This California, mind you, which was pretty liberal state.
Which has corona now, so we know.
Hello.
Going.
Yeah. Hashtag didn't wear a mask either. Although they've been quarantining before. Anyway, I'm not even going to say that. So there's certain schools that will not allow black and brown kids to wear their like heritage hair. Like whether you want to wear a little baby fro, where you want to wear dreadlocks, whether you want to wear like a cute little curly do with a curly bang.
Or if you want to embrace your curls.
Embrace your motherfucking culture and your curls and your root.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically your fucking roots.
Your roots. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
They will make you go home and change your fucking hair. So they, girl, gag, this just happened recently.
And there's also...
banned that.
There were those clips of, like, those African boys with dreads getting their hair...
Haircut,
to be on the basketball team or something.
No, it was... He was humiliated in front of his team, in front of the rival team, and in front of parents, where their coach... someone decided I wasn't sure. This is, like, a few months ago. Maybe it was last year.
Current.
It's current events. Yeah. So they made him cut his dreads in the middle of a match. He allowed it to happen. His parents were in the audience and they allowed it to happen, because if it was like my parents, they would have shut that shit down and be like, you're not fucking cutting my kid's hair in the middle of a fucking match. You know, like,
well, again, that goes back into, I don't know what.
What is, what in the fear, was. But like, it's the fear. Like, people need to not fear their quote-unquote roots. And
yeah, but I don't know, some parents, some people, like I said, colorism,
yeah,
they want to assimilate. They feel like, maybe, you know, I don't know what that whole situation specifically was, but some people feel like that's a sign of like making it into the American successful, you know, the whatever the fucking Illuminati it is that they're striving to be. It's like,
I don't know, I think it's that you're, I think, honest.
I think I remember seeing one where the boy was like, you know, it's just a sign of me like moving into a new chapter in my life and stuff like that. I'm like, but why do you have to be like, why does your,
why do you have to conform into a lifestyle that won't accept you if you change? Like, why can't that society take you as you are?
Yeah.
That's my shit. Like, that's where I'm like, your parents are mad insecure about their own race. And they have their own shit that they're dealing with it personally, and they're bringing onto their kid. Because if I was a mother, I'd be like, hold up, wait a minute, let me get those scissors. Because that's, you know, in our, you're going to see about crazy Latinas. Because I feel like I personally would not be, I would go into the state, I would not be cool with anyone touching my, first of all, touching my kid, and then rearranging them.
Well, now this goes into the next topic I wanted to bring up, which is another phase that is very popular within the Latinx culture, is something that's called mejorar la raza, which means to improve the race.
Oh, God.
And this is what it really means, is when, you know, parents want their spawn to date white people so that their kids grow up with more white features.
Right.
Because they think, I honestly don't know what they think. They think it's more beautiful. They think it's maybe at one point they're like, okay, it's going to be easier for you to like live in this fucked up world that appreciates whiteness. So, you know, maybe really I'll feel like my kid's safer.
That's crazy. Cause like, to be honest with you, like the mixed relationships I know in my life, I don't know, they're, you know, certain genes are mad strong. My friend, white girl married an Asian man. Those kids don't look a pinch white. she had three Asian kids. Like, they, like, honestly, the hair color, they're blondes, but like they're mad Asian. So yeah. It's like really like that whole thing does not like morph in with science, because at the end of the day, like my mom had like good hair and like straight, like my mom had hair like Cher, right? No, the three of us did not get that shit. We got my dad's coarse, really crispy hair. All three of us did. So in the end of the day, it's like, all right, fine, but there's science. And well, the science is...
No, it's not fine, first of all.
No. But no, fine that you think you're... No, it's, I don't
regardless
agree.
Regardless of the science.
No, yeah. But I like, think, chromosome-wise, yeah, like, that's never going to work out for you.
Well, I don't
in
think,
that warpness.
I don't think racism is like... It is like any... People that are racist are not really thinking about it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
For instance, someone in my family, I'm not going to name a name.
Ooh.
But one time I was dating a black boy,
uh-huh,
and I brought him home and they said, do you want your babies to be born with nappy hair?
Ah.
And back to my point of like, they don't even think about the science of it. I'm like, I can't even have bait get pregnant.
Wait, that's another show. I'm
like, you're so racist that you forgot that I'm a trans woman that can't get pregnant and give birth. And on top of that, you're referring to this thing that's like so racist. It's weird. I even think like Latin parents are nicer when you're dating a white person. They're nice to your partner. Right. They're nicer. They just like, they think, oh my God, they've made it.
Right.
Or they, I don't know, there's this feeling of like, wow.
Yeah.
They look at when you're dating a white person, they're like, they treat you like it's an achievement that's been accomplished.
Right, right. See, I got the whole opposite of that. It's like, make sure they're not taking advantage of you. Make sure that things, honestly, I got the opposite of that. Like, when I was dating a white guy, my mom just made sure that, like, you don't be treated as a fucking stereotype. You're not a mommy or you're not any of this shit, like, going into this. Because she didn't trust that. So you get that, or you get, you know, white's right. Don't fuck this up. Because I know plenty of girls have been through that shit. Like, you snagged a white dude. White's right. Don't fuck. Like, blaming it on the girl, blaming it on their poor daughter who is just simply dating.
Yeah.
And ready to send her off and get pregnant and just get the white check. I have no idea.
Oh my God. A 2012 Pew Research study on intermarriage in Los Estados Unidos.
Oh, see?
Thusly. They say for newly married Hispanic men and women, marrying a white person is associated with a college education.
Girl, meanwhile, back at the ranch, what if they don't have a college education?
Girl,
what if?
How many trashy, uneducated, ghetto-ass, hood white boys have I been with?
So many.
But not for nothing.
I have been with very educated people, white men, that are super intelligent book-wise, but when they step outside, they're mad stupid. They're not street smart. They're not common sense smart. Mm-hmm. You know, like simple things. Like, I'd rather do that much, like, well, depending on nationality, I don't know, like human being, like just a human that has more like
street smarts means everything to me.
Street smarts and like common sense.
Yeah.
Like, common sense beats a book any day for me, to be honest.
This is true. There's a balance because I do.
I like intelligence. No, I listen. If you can read a book and not get stabbed, good for you.
Are you single? Mm.
Can you read a book? Yeah, I used to be dudes in fucking Barnes and Nobles.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah.
The third aisle.
He'd be like, oh, what are you reading? I'm like, oh. Giggle.
Well, another thing I wanted to talk about is how, so now during this like Black Lives Matter movement,
yes,
which has been going on forever, that people are suddenly awakened to, thankfully.
Thankfully.
A little late, but you got there.
You know, I'm always late to a party, but you know what? I do arrive.
But some people still need like a Google map to get there.
Right.
Such as Latin artists in the reggaeton scene.
Oh, we're about to read.
Oh, girl.
Girl.
Let me just wet my palate for this one.
Drink up.
Ooh. Camera two.
Oh, I love a camera two. If we had a third, God damn it. Ooh. That costs extra.
Oh, we will. Thank you, Patreon. Oh, by the way, if you want to support, support our third camera purchase, you can sign up to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/allegedlynyc. We're going to fix that to Bodega Dolls, but for now it's allegedlynyc. So,
reggaeton.
So these artists have been attempting to show their solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement.
How's that going for them?
But I don't know. It's complicated, but not really. It's like, okay, you're a Latin artist and you're speaking about the Black Lives Matter movement as if it's outside of your experience. You're making music that is rooted in Black culture, first of all.
Hello.
And you are part of a culture that is mad racist.
Yeah.
And against their own people because of their Blackness.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you use this opportunity to acknowledge that, to make change within your own communities, when you already are using your fucking reggaeton platform? Every time you want to release an album, you're suddenly fighting for trans rights, fighting for gay rights, trying to fight toxic masculinity, and suddenly you're confused?
Mm. See, my tea is that I call that, like, maybe all the reggaeton artists should do a 23andMe, because... I mean, in all honesty, I only see, like, I grew up in, like, just like yourself, like, I always grew up with listening to every sort of music. Like, we listen to a lot of shit, you know, we listen to fucking everything. And I knew, even listening to, like, my dad was a history book, right? Like, he loved listening to music, and he would give me the history, and he's like, oh, you like this, but, you know, this is rooted from African folk music, and it dragged down to our music, and you add it, you see that that's that instrument came from like, he would break down the instruments with me.
Right.
You know, and I understood that, and I was respected. I was like, oh, wow, we're just like this little poo-poo platter of everything. I'm like gagging, you know, like so excited, you know?
Yeah.
So if I'm getting education from my dad in the projects of the Bronx where he lived, why isn't these motherfuckers fucking doing the same thing with their, what they're listening to? Cause that comes from a fucking place.
What they're doing is they are whitewashing the genre. They don't benefit from representing their Black culture and roots. They are striving for is greatness in America, which is whiteness. Yeah. And that's where they all lost me. Bad Bunny was called out by Remezcla recently.
Ooh.
For his silence during the Black Lives Matter movement.
Interesting.
The same day he was called out, he suddenly woke up and found his iPhone.
What, he was like fucking, what's that, Jared Leto in the fucking woods and didn't even know about, you know, he was in the fucking desert. He didn't know about the coronavirus 3 weeks after everyone's like literally dying. So is he in the woods with Jared Leto?
Girl. And see, that's privilege.
Down is privilege. So he needs to check himself too.
That shit doesn't roll with me.
No.
Like, and that's privilege. Like, it to is. Be like, oh my, like, we shouldn't have even known that information. Like, oh, sorry, I was in the desert stranded alone. Like, so, well, then stay there.
Right. What was his quote? Did you have a quote?
He made a quote, and it was in song lyrics.
Go
it was
on.
Like a poem he sent.
All right, he wants to get the money.
And it said, one of the lyrics was, we all can't breathe.
No, all right, go on. Honestly, in Puerto Rico, that's not fly. He lives in Puerto Rico, and everyone's one race over there. And they are racist against the browner Puerto Ricans.
Obviously.
There's no question about it, but he's light-skinned it, you know? So he keeps himself really distant.
He's a privileged.
He's 100%. Listen, I have felt racism myself in Puerto Rico, okay? With light skin and Puerto Ricans. So literally, it's
they
bullshit.
They gave off the beach.
Not only did they gave the beach, like if I'm a pretty brown Puerto Rican, and I know, so I've gone there and I've sat next to like the light skinned Puerto Ricans at a restaurant. They look at me like I'm like beyond second class.
Oh,
like,
they can be the most stuck up.
Stuck up bitches I've ever in my whole life.
They call them fresa. They call them, is that in Mexico, fresa? Oh, that's insane.
It's crazy to me. It's just crazy to me that exists within my culture. Listen, let me tell you something. I went through all Puerto Rico, going to like boutique to boutique, trying to sell my swimwear. And I have been denied so hardcore through my own fucking peeps, okay?
Yeah.
Hard. I have never gotten any love from my own peeps at all.
No.
At all. I've contacted Latina Magazine. I've contacted all these people to like, you know, do press and do collaborations with that are like super Latin. And I'm like, let's do this together. Let's like, you know, let's do something cool together. And nothing. Nothing. Dust, crickets, everything. Because they don't want to be a part of the Latin culture. They want to get into the white culture.
Yes.
They want to get into white Hollywood. They want to get into the white magazines. So they do not, literally, they paid me so much dust coming up.
Girl, yeah. Well, Bad Bunny, another thing he said, which kind of annoyed me, was that, you know, don't turn to artists as if they're superheroes. Like, you know, he's like, you know, don't be waiting for my quote. I'm not going to save the world. Like, I'm not a superhero. And I'm like, but, you know, when you have a lot of influence.
And a platform.
Influence is almost more important than politicians. Like, when you have that kind of influence, it literally, like, even Cardi B said it. He's like, she would say, it's our job, you know, to use our networks and our influence to affect change. It's like, if you have millions of people that are listening to you, you don't think you want to utilize that to, like, not only just sell shit.
Right.
Why don't you? He does it when your record's about to drop.
Hello.
But what about...
He's on Jimmy fucking Fallon.
You know, another thing that's annoying is when people are like, you know, I'll deal with it when I want, or like, it's too much for me. I'm going to take a day off. I can't really do
because
it.
Because like, they don't have a brain for themselves.
Yeah, but black people don't get a day off from
this shit. Not at all. Oh, so you know what it is? Like, people... Here's the thing, and this is what I find really funny right now. If you don't have anything to say, then you know what? Because what I've seen so far, maybe you should shut the fuck up. If you don't have nothing like to say and you can't formulate yourself and you don't have a PR person to like do a little summary for you, then maybe you should shut the fuck up.
Well, what he's doing right now, I'm sure, is reading a book, but which is what he should have been. His response should have been like, I'm honestly... been silent during this time right now because I'm educating myself. I'm intaking information. I'm educating myself.
What you should do is PR.
And I'll make a statement.
Yeah.
When I'm ready and educated enough to do so. Instead of acting like you know what the fuck you're talking about.
No, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about because you are a light-skinned, like, Puerto Rican in Puerto Rico that is kind
rich.
Of like, and yeah, 100% rich. You're like living the fucking gampo. Okay. And
probably buying up real estate, cheap real estate.
Oh, 100% and getting cheap labor. So, I mean, we're assuming, but I personally think that if you have the platform and you can't figure out words and how to express yourself or formulate an educated like statement, shut the fuck up. Just shut the fuck up. Because maybe the silence is your protest. Shut the fuck up. Because let me tell you something. In all honesty, there's Puerto Ricans in New York, right? That have been here since like...
There's more Puerto Ricans in New York than in Puerto Rico.
Down. And those are the ones that always get arrested. Literally, my dad always growing up, he's like, they either blame us or black people. He's like, it's just, there's two people that always get arrested in New York City. Puerto Ricans... And black people. This is when I was little.
It's the people that look black.
Yeah.
The Puerto Ricans that look black. The Dominicans that look black. Any Latin culture that it's about how it's the colorism.
Yeah. Well, he's talking about... He was... At the time, he was talking about like the 1950s and 60s.
Yeah.
He was talking about like a certain... It was like...
No, you, same thing.
Yeah. It's like totally like... You leave the house... You're guilty.
Yeah.
So he always put that in my head. So I always had that in my head.
Yeah.
Like I always felt guilty without just leaving the house. So I always like, even as an adult now to this day, when I see cops, I always think that I have drugs in me and I don't even do drugs. Like crazy. Like I always feel guilty just being next to a cop.
Well, because it's your instincts. You got to protect yourself.
I always have that in my head just because as a little girl, as things being taught to me, like, just be careful. Just say yes. Say no. Say don't. Like, basically, don't react. You know?
Right.
So I always had that growing up. But, like, it's crazy that, you know, it's not crazy because, you know, I live in a New York bubble. But, like, it's nuts to me that, you know, my dad telling me that in the 80s and we're here and
nothing's changed.
And nothing has changed. No.
It's worse.
It's worse.
Someone in the White House that is literally.
It's like he's two speeches away of saying the N-word.
He's already said it in my eyes.
Yeah, like literally he's basically said the N-word.
Before they make a speech, they're like, I want to say this word, but in many different other ways.
How do I do a Pilates under that word, but say it without saying it? And but like he's basically he's already called Mexicans rapists. So
I mean, he started off.
That's where he started off. He started up.
So he's ending it. You know what?
Yeah,
he's ending it as he began. So everyone out there that voted for him, you're getting what you paid for.
Yep. If you're still alive, because you probably died of corona from not wearing a fucking mask.
Right. Well, in conclusion, I think it's important for us to all remember as the Latinx community, as the Black community as well, that we are stronger in numbers
100%.
And that we can use our oppression to unite us in a way. Because, you know, colorism is one thing that has affected us all throughout many
our
different communities.
Yes.
So if that's what we can use to have feel like there's a common denominator where we all have like relate to each other in some way, let's use that to like be stronger in numbers mm-hmm. and make a difference when it's time to vote. And let's fucking change the world. It's happening. Let's keep the wave going. And let's keep the conversations going, even if they're fucking awkward. It's time to break
Listen,
all this down.
It's, you know what? We've been comfortable for too long. So it's time to be uncomfortable and talk. Yeah. You know, we've all been really cute. We've been relaxed.
I'd rather be uncomfortable at a table having a conversation than 100%. With a gun pointed to my head from a police officer.
Yeah, I'll take one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's do that.
Yeah, let's have, I would much rather have a whole situation, girl.
Yes. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in to Bodega Dolls. Bodega Spread the word. We've gone through a name change. If you want a visual version of this show, if you're only tuning in on Spotify or iTunes, you can go to our YouTube channel and like, subscribe, follow us. We have a lot of good things coming up for you. And we look forward to bringing you some more important topics and conversations.
Topics.
Emails.
Sex. Gossip. Baby news. Bye.
Like, subscribe, and tune into the Bodega Dolls podcast on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.